From Run Your Mouth World Headquarters.
First up, why Major League Baseball's new transparent pants has players rushing to get penis filler.
I'm a big guy, 6'7", and I can't be seen out there on the field with a little putty dick. These Cuban guys have rods down to their knees. It's like they shoved a baseball bat in there. It just makes the rest of us look bad.
We're going to be hiring a full-time fluffer. Just want to make sure my guys look good out there before taking the mound.
Next up, we have exclusive footage of Bill Clinton arriving in town.
Oh no, it's a Clinton. He'll suicide us all. Quick, gather the kids.
In Florida, the Don't Say Gay bill has been thrown out.
My fellow Americans, we can finally say gay in classrooms again and live in a world where the children can learn about their butts and other people's butts. No longer will they have to wait until age 13 for a puberty class. No, at all ages, the children of our beautiful nation will be able to feel uncomfortable as teachers explain sexuality.
And with the Haitian government crumbling, we hear from local Florida residents concerned with Haitian migrants.
Haitians taking over Florida? Not after I can finally say gay again. I worked hard, too hard to say gay, only to have a bunch of Haitians take over. Release them, gators.
Next up, we question why anyone cares about Kate Middleton's doctoring or not doctoring a photo, and why it's been so widely reported, we feel like we have to mention it in this intro. So like a bad song stuck in your head, you can be forced to dwell on this too. And lastly, with airplanes falling from the sky from unchecked doors, scientists question if Joe Biden's dementia might be contagious.
It's your daily dose of misinformation pulled from a lightly hemorrhoided asshole. It's today's Run Your Mouth.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Run Your Mouth podcast. I feel good about that intro. Feel like it might be the best one we've done yet. Things are coming together in our glorious studio of the Run Your Mouth Enterprises. People, you got to start emailing me your porches. You got to start sending me pictures. I want to see the full spread you're going to be putting out for me and my pals. I want to see the luxury, like the luxurious basement couches that I will be able to sleep on. I want to know things like, do you have your own bathroom? And can I eat, overeat, and make diarrhea in the morning? These are the kind of information that I'm looking for. robsnewsroom@gmail.com. We're going to be doing so much porch touring over this porch tour. But this weekend, I am with Dave Smith out in Chicago. Come bring me some hot dogs. With those little sesame seeds on the outside. Not sesame seeds, poppy seeds. Basically look like moldy rolls, if I'm going to be honest. And, you know, you guys keep talking about them Chicago dogs. I've yet to taste one that's super delicious. By the way, if I have one regret in life, and, you know, I don't live my life with too many regrets, but if I have one, it's that I never ate deep dish while I was still on the dairy. I'd like to experience that once. Maybe I should just commit to being sick for a day, because I don't think there's any amount of those lactate pills that I could actually consume that I wouldn't get sick. Or maybe what I should start doing is start slowly reintroducing dairy and vomiting in the afternoon so that maybe I can spend an entire day in Chicago being sick, but at least I will have tried deep dish pizza once. And is deep dish pizza that excellent? Is it that good? Believe me, I ate all the New York City pizza. When I was eating pizza back in my early comedy days, I mean, the fact that I'm not 300 pounds is incredible, because I used to eat just slices all night. I was drinking beers and my career wasn't going anywhere. No one was listening to my jokes as I spent money at open mics, but my God, did I eat all the pizza and did I drink all the beers? All right, listen, we're meandering, and I've got like 40 pages of things going on. I actually have so much going on, I purposely didn't read the news today because I realized I had too many topics. I wanted to go live last night. It doesn't matter. We don't have to go through all this stuff. I will say I saw Phil Lesh and friends last night at the Capitol Theater, and Phil is reigniting my faith in old people, because you see these other old people running our nation, running for office, and you think old people don't have it anymore. But let me tell you, Phil, he still has it. All right, it's enough nonsense. Let's get into the show. Do have a lot that I would like to cover. And so why don't we start with United Airlines reports fifth incident in over a week as US-bound flight returns to Australia. And guys, How are we feeling about the planes falling from the skies? Which way are we going on this? Because since COVID, I can't sit down and research every single topic. I am doing research exhausted. I'm back to, I just want to make some dumb penis jokes. That's all I'd like to do. But then they keep drawing me in because I'm on flights every single weekend. So which way are we going with this? Is this some sort of a conspiracy of the elites that they want the planes for themselves? They can't scare us again with the COVID stuff, so they want to do some sort of another thing so that they don't even have to see people and coach. Does that even make sense for big business that they don't want us on these airlines? Are there some big stock shorts out there trying to finagle all the reportings, taking off doors, having things fall from the sky so that they can go buy more of this stock? Is the stock market inflating so rapidly that they have to create other fake and false news to try and bring down stock prices? Or does every one of the mechanics who's working on these things have vertigo because of the vaccine? They don't even know how to inspect whether or not doors are working. What do we think is going on here? Do we think they're falsifying reports? And then you get people who are getting such big payouts by these big shorts that they'll actually go and make fake accusations against Boeing and then suicide themselves in their car. Or maybe China is getting back at us for this whole TikTok thing, and they're sending ninjas on these planes, just quickly making adjustments to the doors right before the things take off. How many more instances there have to be before there can be a plane just shaking and it's normal turbulence and no one gets upset at you for standing up in the aisleway and going, it's all over, and just start jerking off right there? Give me the Bistoff. I want all the Bistoff cookies. We're done for. This plane's going down. I've felt shakes on planes before, but never a shake like that. That's the shake of a Boeing 737. Are you guys starting to look up which of the Boeings are the bad Boeings? You sit there in your chair as people start coming onto the plane. You grab your knees by your chest while you rock back and forth and go, "This is the Boeing's not going to make it. The Boeing's not going to make it." You got to be on the good pre-2000 Boeings before they put out the vaccine and people actually showed up to work. What is going on? Has anyone actually dug in and done their research? Because I don't want to. What are we going to have to become experts on every single topic? Here's maybe what we could do. Here's maybe what I have in mind for a possible solution, as we can't trust the aviation industry with our safety any longer. Or maybe this is, you know, because they want us all to be homeless now and they want to keep showing us pictures of van life and how glorious van life is. And people never tell you about bathroom on van life. And why don't you put the bar? Anyways, listen, here's my solution. Because is van life for you guys? You want to just spend your entire life driving to new cities, looking for new places to park your car so that you can be homeless and sleep in your car? Glorified homelessness? So anyways, here's what I think everyone's got to do. You got to start at home. We'll all do hood repairs. Every single one of us will show up. We'll get on these planes. We'll have duct tape. We'll have garbage bags and just everything on the plane. You duct tape the windows, you duct tape the doors. If everybody does their part and brings a roll of duct tape and their own garbage bags, and every single person applies a little bit of duct tape and a little bit of garbage bag to every single door and every single window, I think we just might make it. All right. What else we got next? Why not take a moment and plug our fine sponsor, YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, the only place in the entire world where you can get an entire kilo of Kratom for just $60. 121 people watching the show live. That's pretty cool. Send me some comments, people. I like reading the comments live on air. All right, so let's get into this topic. Saw this in the New York Post yesterday. Number of Gen Z who say they are not straight doubles to 22%, and 1 in 5 women are under 27 are bisexual, which, you know, I think the gays are making this look like it's a little bit too much fun. They're recruiting everybody. And listen, I'm not saying if you don't want to be gay, you were born gay, you like being gay, you're an adult, you want to change your gender. Listen, I'm a progressive. I'm for freedom. I think you should do whatever you want to do. You should live your life however you want to live it. But it was hard enough not getting laid when women weren't eating each other's boxes. We don't need to live in an environment where more women are recruiting other women to just be with women. Except that maybe if they're there and they're eating each other's boxes, they'll have a little bit more respect for how difficult it is, where they're like, why is my tongue going numb? And why didn't you tell me that you're on your period? Maybe they'll experience that and have more respect, or they'll get so good at it that they'll just realize that they don't need us. And then, you know what's then going to happen is that you're going to have dudes who start plowing each other's butts and they're like, listen, we didn't need you otherwise anyways, right? But then the women might go, okay, well, if you're going to do that, then we're going to start posting our own pictures onto OnlyFans. And then you're not going to get any action unless you're paying for it in $5 increments on a monthly basis. And then the men will respond by going, fine, then we're going to compete in your sports. Where is this going, people? Where is this going? We're still at the beginning of embracing this. So I'm just saying, it seems like it's already getting a little bit out of hand. Speaking of getting out of hand, what did the deep state do in Haiti? Anyone know what the deep state did in Haiti? Jimmy's Barbecue taken over, which, by the way, that sounds like a name of a guy I'd like to hang out with. I mean, sure, maybe applies to actually heating people and overthrowing countries, but what did the deep state do? You know, what are they trying to get rid of the evidence that Professor Colum was telling us about what these UN and other agencies have been doing in third world countries such as Haiti, where it's easy to dispose of younglings? We'll use Jedi talk so it sounds less horrible. But what went on down in Haiti? And now they're already talking about that all these people might start fleeing to Florida, which I'm in Key West next weekend. I might be able to go to that southernmost tip and get a front row seat to the Haitian-Florida invasion. And you know, you guys are starting to make me look like an asshole. I was over here saying, listen, it's an election year, but you can bet on boring. That's what I've been saying. I was saying it seems like these all these court cases are fading away. They tried to bully Donald Trump out, and it was just a intimidation tactic. It's like what they did with the COVID, where they pretend threatened your job and then turned around and said, well, we never really threatened your job. It's just intimidation tactics. And D-Dog, he didn't fall for it. He's like, I'm going to see this thing through. I've got lawyer money. You don't think I got lawyer money? And so he saw it through, and it seems to be fading away. But then all of a sudden, doesn't it kind of look like maybe they're blowing up third world countries and bringing that chaos here? All that shit that you always hear about, and you're like, nah, we're fine. And listen, I'm not too nervous about this. I don't know why. I don't know why. I just seem to feel calm about these things. Maybe just after 2 years of COVID and it just kind of falling away and realizing that just crazy shit's going to happen. You're going to have to live with the crazy shit. You're just going to have to live with how stupid everybody is, that they seem to be able to ignore the imposition of government. And then they can keep pumping out these fake studies. And you can go, all this information seems to be fake. We are going to continue that series. I'm sitting on a couple of emails from people that came in about the fake studies. But all I'm trying to say is that as I'm sitting over here going, listen, I think things are going to be okay. I think you can bet on boring. Then you get storylines like this of third world countries crumbling right around us and the possibility of even more people coming in. And you do start wondering, all right, maybe my bet on boring is not going to pay out. All right, what else we got, Mr. Producer Man? That is an excellent opportunity to plug our sponsor, PhoenixAmmo.com. Go get yourself a big old bag of bullets from the people making high-quality bullets that will not sell to the United States government. The people bringing the people over the border, the people ruining Haiti, trying to get all the migrants up in Florida. If you're not into my bet on boring and you want to make sure that you are well-armed just because it makes you feel good, not because there's going to be chaos in the world, we're not making those claims. We're not making the claims that you better be ready to defend yourself against a zombie apocalypse and actually hoping that more third world country people come in here that know how to use guns just to fend off the zombies. We can't be making reckless claims like that. But you know what we can tell you? That if you want to get yourself bags of bullets from a sponsor that won't sell to the United States government because these bullets are too good, as they're trying to figure out how they can get more, what are they going to take these fine bullets just to send them over to Russia and the Ukraines so that they can be fighting each other? No, not Phoenix Ammo. They sell to you and you only. Get yourself a nice big bold bag of bullets. Tell them that the Run Your Mouth podcast sent you. Thank you to PhoenixAmmo.com. All right, next up we've got, should China own TikTok? This is from the New York Times. Isn't that already a fun slant? They already do own TikTok. It's their thing. I mean, sure, maybe it's the evil communist Chinese party, but at the end of the day, they currently own it. Shouldn't the question be, should the United States forcibly get rid of it? Should the United States forcibly make them sell it? Should the United States forcibly seize it from them? But isn't that already a nice little spin of a starting point of should China? Well, they currently do. They created the product. They put out the product. Somehow they're better at rigging algorithms and convincing kids that it's exciting to be there by pumping the numbers, which that's the way you do it. You tell people that if they'll post pictures of themselves dancing, that you'll pretend like millions upon millions of people are actually interested in watching people dance. And then you get everyone doing childish things that they should have been getting beat up for. And then China keeps telling you, no, we love it. And everybody loves it. And then people keep going to the platform going, hey, this is where all the good stuff is. And then they'll keep feeding you old school algorithms. You want to look at warfare. You want to look at Jewish money. And I've never been on TikTok. I don't know how it works. Which, by the way, in my self-interest, get rid of the damn thing. Who knows? I'm not on TikTok. None of these kids are finding my content on the TikTok. So yeah, sure, force them all onto Instagram where they still won't see my stuff because guess what? As all the politicians like to talk about, well, whoever controls the algorithm gets to pretend, yeah, because it's not you guys. Because you guys control the American algorithms, which still isn't just an open platform. It'd be one thing if the United States had laws that the social media companies had to be open platforms and nobody was rigging the algorithm. No one was making sure that the government-protected propaganda pieces were rising to the top and content like this was virtually shadow banned. Look, and I look at my YouTube shorts now, which I was getting excited for, and that's the problem. They hook you. We're all addicted to the attention. That's why you're in this game. And you get one video, it's get 10th out. You're like, man, I figured this thing out. Finally, people are starting to see my stuff. And then you put in one joke that's a little bit too far, and it gets no views. And you're like, I don't understand. I don't understand why that one got 10,000 and this one got zero. And it's because the zero one was just offensive enough that YouTube's like, hey, we're not going to let anyone see this. Do I know any of that as being factually accurate? Of course not. But, you know, like I said, this is like Boeing doors. I'm not researching and I'm still getting on planes. I'm making a career out of putting out content and I'm not researching the algorithms to see how you can better figure out how to get the stuff to people. No, that's not what I do over here. I look at headlines and then I make a bunch of wacky and false accusations based off the headlines and just mention questions that you have to decipher whether or not those are well-researched questions that I actually believe in. And then I move on to the next topics. That's how Run Your Mouth operates. But anyways, New York Times over here going, should China own TikTok? They want to get rid of it. Of course, they want to safeguard what the kids are seeing because it isn't our indoctrination. That's always what it is. That's always what it is. It's always, hey, listen, we need to have safeguards on what people are viewing. It needs to go through the traditional media outlets because if we don't do that, how can we lie to people? How can we mold the way it's, you guys do not have a track record of being honest. You don't have a track record of giving people good information. So how can you complain? Oh, well, we need to be rigging the algorithm for our interest. We can't have China rigging the algorithm for their interest. And most of the China interest just seems to be theoretically undermining, I guess, people's faith in the United States government. We can't have everyone sitting around going, I love taxes and I love our government. And so what are the incredible claims that exist on TikTok that kids are seeing that we need to ban TikTok? Listen, there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on in the world. And the New York Times could have told me, hey, listen, they're trying to convince all our kids to be trans. They're trying to convince all of our kids that it's cool to be dancers. They're trying to convince our kids that there's money in going to furry festivals, dressing up as furries, and selling pictures on OnlyFans of you in furry costumes. You could tell me that they're rotting our kids' brains by serving them information that time spent on playgrounds eating the wood chips will actually make you smarter and get you into college. You could tell me that the TikTok had killed 100 kids last year because they were eating Tide Pods and then taking dish soap and covering their bodies in it and then jumping down the stairwells in their school thinking that that would make for a better slip and slide, and that there were actually 45 concussions by kids who had covered their body in dish soap and gone down their stairwells of their high schools. And I would go, man, this TikTok is really creating some problems. But did they do that? Did they tell me about the kids in dish soap going down stairwells? Did they tell you about the people who were eating cough syrup? Did they tell you about all the kids that thought that maybe that they were trans and went to see a doctor, got things adjusted, realized that they weren't trans, and it was because they spent too much time dancing on TikTok? No, they didn't tell you any of those stories. You know what the stories they went for was kids are a little bit too nervous and think that our economy is worse than it is because of information that they're seeing on TikTok. We're over here as the New York Times, and as we try and get into a new election cycle where we ensure that Joe Biden wins And we also lie to you about how great the economy is, ignoring Fed and bubbles, and that even if it is good, it's probably just because of money that they put into the system that's going to create a problem down the line. But as we serve you this propaganda, we can't have kids questioning the state of the economy. And for that reason, we need to get rid of TikTok. You guys don't believe me? Here, I'll read it from the New York Times. Despite low unemployment and falling inflation, TikTok is full of viral videos bemoaning the U.S. economy. One popular group of posts uses the term silent depression. The post falsely suggests that the country is in worse shape today than it was in 1930. My colleagues, Gene and someone else. All right. Before we move on to the next one, can someone put one comment in? Because I can see there's like 300 people listening to the show right now. And now I'm getting nervous that this might be one of those episodes where I'm just literally talking to nobody. And then I go back and I download it. And I'm like, did I actually do an hour of Run Your Mouth and no one was able to hear a single word of it? Because we've had that experience before. These things have happened. We have done full episodes with zero sound. And then you got to redo the episode. And then you're less enthusiastic about the episode. Anyways, here we go. Next one that they were taking issue with is the after the Hamas October 7th terrorist attack, TikTok flooded users with videos expressing extreme positions from both sides of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Because we know that most people involved in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, there's no extreme positions there. I mean, Hamas went in and, you know, killed people, but that wasn't extreme. And then when Israel came back and bombed civilians, that wasn't extreme. And when Israel funneled everyone into the south and then, you know, raided the hospitals and then said, all right, now everyone's got to go to the north. And then they keep saying that they can't get food into it. And seemingly people are starving. That's not extreme. In fact, when you watch NBC and they're showing you footage of kids who have to eat like the animal feed and they're waiting on lines for little portions of rice, that's not extreme. What are people seeing on TikTok? Videos of aliens in the Hamas tunnels? What is the footage that people are seeing? All right, continuing. A Wall Street Journal analysis found many stoked fear. The journal reported in November, videos praising an old Osama bin Laden letter also went viral. I don't know. None of these things sound that terrible or that factually inaccurate yet. Oh, kids are a little bit too uncomfortable with the current state of the economy. We're over here reporting low unemployment numbers, which, by the way, I don't really, unemployment numbers are not something that I ever really followed. I kind of got sucked into that a little bit with Gene Epstein when he slapped us for saying, hey, that doesn't include people that dropped out of the workforce. And he was saying that it basically does. With all that said, not my topic of expertise. And, you know, there's only so many things that you can research. I'm not even looking into the Boeing doors and I'm going to be on a flight. Okay. But I have seen with all these claims of, oh, the employment's unbelievable. There was a Zero Hedge article saying that there was the largest ever adjustment, downward adjustment. Apparently, they claim jobs and then they make downward adjustments of no, not that many people were employed all the time. But there was the largest ever downward adjustment. I read in Mishtalk, a lot of it's foreign born workers. I don't know if that means non-U.S. citizens and that it also includes a lot of part time work. But like I said, absent of all of that, are kids learning that our economy might not be all that hot and maybe they need to work a little bit harder, or maybe government's not really helping them and creating bubbles? Maybe they don't get the full picture, but they just realize like, oh shit, this doesn't look great. And government spent a lot of money and it seems like prices are going up. And what's going on in the world that it feels like I have less jobs opportunities? No, what we need is for everyone to lie to kids that it's actually really wonderful and that everything that government's doing is in their interest. And so just keep on taking on that student debt, go into school, and don't be nervous that maybe there won't be a job for you and that maybe the debt's not worthwhile, or that you should at least insure to take a major that's not philosophy of gender sciences. Like, maybe kids being a little bit scared about the economy might actually help them, and not having total faith in the United States government completely protecting them. The better news for kids to get would be, listen, no matter what, the U.S. economy is so great that even if you don't ever get a job, don't worry, there's Social Security at the end of it. We'll send you some food stamps. We'll make sure you got some health care. You don't have to even be responsible for yourself because everything's going wonderfully all the time and you have even more opportunities than your parents. And remember, they're trying to write a hit piece right now of here's why TikTok can't exist. And so their best examples thus far are that kids have a negative outlook on the economy and that they're seeing extremist positions in regard to the Israel war. Okay, let's continue. In December, a Rutgers University research group concluded that videos about topics the Chinese government dislikes, including Tibet, Uyghurs, Hong Kong protests, the 1980 Tiananmen Square, were strangely hard to find on TikTok. Fine. I guess the CCP is not going to let you see information about how they're bad. And then, all right, this was their next claim of, well, what about if there was a Soviet NBC, right? If during the Cold War, maybe, I don't know, maybe frictions would have came down. You're reading it for about from the Russian angle, and you're like, hey, maybe we can just get along with these people. I just think that the claims of that competing information from, like, so the United States can't compete with the propaganda of other countries, it just seems like they always feel like your freedom is dangerous, and for some reason they have to explain to you why you can't have your freedom. This was another New York Times article. What to know, what's bed-eviling Biden TikTok economics might hold clues. This is more about how TikTok is teaching kids that the economy's not doing all that wonderfully. And then this was a Wall Street Journal article, how TikTok brings war home to your child, and that you can watch one piece of information from the Hamas war, and then the algorithm keeps throwing more stuff at you. All right, so let's listen to what some politicians had to say. And once again, you guys are scaring me here. What have I done? I've spit 25 minutes of pure run-your-mouth gold here, and for some reason still not one single comment, which makes me think that I'm going to go back at the end of this and find out that I was talking to myself. But listen, you know, I don't know. I guess you don't think that this isn't just what I do when the cameras aren't rolling. I'm not just talking out loud about these topics. You know what it is? I even repeat these things. Like, you could just, any point of the day, if you actually came find me, I'm one of those guys on the street corner, and I'm just yelling this information, hoping that people will know. And then what I do is, for 1 hour a day, I turn on the camera. So believe me, I'm not going to be tired or exhausted because I had to rant about all of these issues. And if I have to do it again, someone's just got to come find me with the camera in like 4 hours when I cycle back to these things until tomorrow when I have new information to yell about. All right, so anyways, this is Thomas Massey. I haven't watched his full speech yet, but he put this out on Twitter, and I thought that it was a good point. Let's give it a listen.
An overly broad bill, and they got an exclusion written into the bill that I want to read. It says, the term covered company does not include an entity that operates a website or application whose primary purpose is to allow users to post product reviews, business reviews, or travel information and reviews. Why is this exception in the bill? Why did somebody feel like they needed this exception if the bill itself only covers social media applications that foreign adversaries are running? These and other questions we hope to answer in the course of this debate, and I reserve the balance of my time.
The gentleman from Kentucky reserves the...
I think it's obvious to all of us that they're trying to find new ways that they can regulate the internet, that they can make sure that there isn't competition in ideas, that the information that you're seeing is being controlled by the United States government, that the algorithms are being controlled by the United States government. And so this is probably just the starting point for, you know, things that might even end up pushing, you know, the Twitters,
an
Elon Musk,
bill.
Or otherwise. All right. And then here was Nancy Pelosi, who for some reason looks like AI in this. I don't know. Is Nancy Pelosi such an excellent speaker that she actually secretly died and they have to roll out AI Nancy Pelosi because they have no one else that can sell this? And then you got the person sitting next to him that looks like Gustus from that first Willy Wonka film. Gustus, you watch out for the chocolate. And then he just can't not eat the chocolate and gets himself stuck in the flute or the fume or whatever. I don't know who this fat guy standing next to AI Nancy Pelosi is who just has to stare in the camera. They're like, listen, in order for AI Nancy Pelosi to work, we need some fat weirdo who's just going to stand into the camera next to her. But let's hear what AOC had to say about the need to bail to get rid of TikTok. This is how important getting rid of TikTok is, that they got AI AOC on the case talking about getting rid of TikTok.
The vote this morning was a vote to protect the national security of our country and the privacy of our citizens. I pointed out at the time that the TikTok in China broadcast into Taiwan, that the Uyghurs love what the Chinese are doing it's genocide. The people in Hong Kong love the crushing of their democracy in Hong Kong. And the Tibetans talked about how they are suppressed on TikTok there and how they are misrepresented on TikTok there. So for these and other reasons, this is about human rights and privacy and democracy. But most importantly, if the Chinese government, as it does with ByteDance and its partnership, controls the algorithm, we are at their mercy.
I want to pause here, because this is what I was talking about, of when they talk about the fear of what China is able to do. Aren't they kind of showing their hands when they talk about, oh, but they'll have all this big data? Yeah, but you have all the big data. Oh, well, if they can control the algorithms, you mean what you guys are doing? Because I don't believe for one second that YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and the likes are without influence of government. I mean, you still got those lawsuits going on about what was going on during COVID. I've been listening to a little bit of the Supreme Court hearings about it, but we all know that they were like, hey, we'd really appreciate if some of that information wasn't available. Hey, we're looking at the information available, and it looks like your algorithm is still pushing this kind of content. Hey, it appears to us, oh, magically, the advertisers all care about these specific safety standards and ensuring that this kind of information isn't available. Hey, Boeing, before you go and you spend more money on the YouTube platform, do you mind having a conversation with them to make sure that people that are criticizing the Israel war aren't being amplified? I don't know if that's a particular censorship, but they're kind of showing you the hands here that the algorithms of the way that content is being pushed on the platform is very important to governments. And so we can't have a China apparatus within our country, because then we can't control the algorithm to make sure that our kids aren't dancing too much, which that one I approve. You guys want to come forward and say, hey, there's a little bit too much dancing going on the internet. I'll get behind that one.
They control the data, the privacy data of our people. We are at their mercy. So I was very pleased the vote was so conclusive. There were 350 votes for this legislation. We hope the Senate will take up a privacy bill.
All right. And then one more politician here to comment
the
on
vote
it.
This morning
we
was
have
a vote,
Eric Swalwell was asked about it. Actually, one of the rare Democrats voting against a TikTok ban. And so let's hear what AI Eric Swalwell had to say.
Many people look at this as a TikTok potential ban in the United States. How will you vote on this?
So with the TikTok ban, Fang Fang was the only person that could hit that place in my prostate where everything just feels right. And while I'm no longer with Fang Fang, wrapped in her arms or getting railed out, I'm going to vote in favor of the CCP on this one, in hope that maybe they send me a new Asian spy who knows how to hit that spot.
Many people.
There you go. Eric Swalwell on the case. All right, next topic we've got for everybody here. But before we do, let's thank SheathUnderwear.com, the most comfortable underwear that's ever graced the balls of man. If you want to be able to move around like this, frictionless with them thighs, just going boom, 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 you're going to need yourself some SheathUnderwear.com. What do we got on today? We got the classic reds. There you go. Look at that smooth, sexy fabric. You got smooth, sexy fabric like that on your underwear? I bet you don't. I bet you got that coarse Fruit of the Loom that you've washed too many times. Chafes up everything. You try and go for a jog in it, and you quit. Not because you're fat and winded, but because your balls are flopping all over the place, and you got that harsh fabric rubbing up against your skin. You want to live a better life? You want to have smooth, sexy, silky underwear? You got to go to SheathUnderwear.com, use promo code RYM, you get 20% off the greatest underwear that's ever graced the balls of man. All right, now we've got the whole storyline of, I believe the guy's name was Her, and they asked him to investigate Joe Biden. You got all these people, they're leaving office with government documents. Donald Trump as president has the authority to declassify information, and you would think that taking information, that very act would declassify it. You would go, hey, I no longer intend for this information to be classified because I'm taking it. Seems makes sense to me, but you know the way government likes paperwork. They know even if you're the boss and you're in charge, you got to go file a report with this guy. You got to talk to that guy. You got to get this thing stamped. You got to go wait on that line. You know, there's always a process and a procedure. Maybe that's the first thing Donald Trump should do when he gets into office. It goes, when it comes to me, I'm not doing any paperwork, okay? I'll get on TV and say it's declassified and just show it to people. Is that what you prefer? Instead of it just being in my bathroom, protected, safe, I'll get on TV. I'll just show it to people. I'll go, listen, this is no longer classified, okay? And I'll show it to them and they'll see the codes, the bombs. Is that what you prefer? Anyways, so, but vice presidents, they don't get to declassify information. They're not allowed to do that. And so if they're taking stuff and it's classified, well, they're certainly not allowed to do that. And they're certainly not allowed to get book deals and go, hey, look, I got some classified shit over here. I bet if you put it in the book, book's going to sell even better. Now, usually I like watching these congressional things start to finish. I don't know why. This one struck me as kind of boring because the claims seemed fairly reasonable. He sits down and he goes, yep, he definitely knowingly broke the law. No, I don't think we could prosecute him because he, like everybody, sat down and went, I don't remember. And seeing as how he's old and frail and clearly has things that he doesn't remember, I think the jury will believe him when he says he doesn't remember, and then we won't be able to prove intent. Makes sense to me. Makes sense why that's so. On both sides, everyone's upset with this guy. You got the Republicans who are all annoyed and going, why do we have this double standard that you're prosecuting Donald Trump for taking this stuff and you're letting this guy off the hook? That's the softer question. The harsher question is, why aren't you researching some of these other ties? Like, why are the Chinese people, why the China government that we need to ban through TikTok is paying for the place where he's keeping all the secret information that he's not supposed to have? And then we're going to play another video from Jim Jordan and from Matt Gaetz, who I think had some other pointed questions of why aren't you looking into this information? But in terms of, hey, he took classified documents, you're going after Donald Trump, yeah, we don't think we can prosecute him. Now, that could also be that you could say, hey, that's corruption, because the whole idea of these court cases is to make a spectacle of the fact that you're doing a court case and so that people can go on the news and go, oh, look, there's a court case. So clearly he's guilty. Otherwise, why would there be a court case about this? But then the Democrats got really mad at him because they're like, this was you gave political points to our enemies and saying that he was too senile to stand trial. And you politicized the process by making statements like that. And you shouldn't have made statements like that. And I don't know. It just seems reasonable. He felt like he needed to make those statements to say why they weren't prosecuting, because it was also clear that that Joe Biden had broken the law. And so he's given his opinion on why we're not prosecuting. Law was broken, can't prosecute. Kind of adds up, right? Okay, so here was a little bit of the... all right, I don't know where I took this from, but we might as well read it because I have it here. Joe Biden's memory was an important consideration for Herr's decision not to pursue criminal charges against the sitting president. Herr testified, while Herr did find evidence Biden willfully retained classified information about foreign policy and national security issues, the special counsel did not assess that it would be provable beyond a reasonable doubt and predicted that a prosecutor would have trouble convincing a jury to convict Joe Biden, given Biden's advanced age and addled memory. Or they could pull the Democratic move and just bring it to the most Republican spot in Texas so that the jury just goes, yeah, he's guilty. Well, we have to actually, can you imagine that? They go, we're here today to find out guilty. Well, we haven't even done the case. It doesn't matter. The guy's guilty. What is he guilty of? I don't know. What's the harshest penalty you can put in front of us? Because we'll just stamp that. But anyways, also, doesn't this kind of feel like thought crimes? If the crime is only because you intentionally did it? Like, I don't know. If shouldn't crimes be because the activity that you're doing is illegal because it's inherently dangerous? Like even if you didn't intend to take classified documents, like murder. I guess even if you murder someone, I guess, accidentally, whatever. What does that mean, though? I guess intent matters in murder. Because if you totally didn't intend to murder someone, but then it's just an accident. I don't know. If there's some little old ladies right outside my door and I open up my door like Kramer and it takes out a little old lady, even though my door doesn't open up into the hallway, and then you could say that it was a negligent builder who knows that I'm clumsy and had a door that was opening up into the hallway. Let's move on. I don't know why we went through that train of thought. Here we've got Jim Jordan questioning her. Let's give this a watch.
Mr. Herr, why'd he do it? Why did Joe Biden, in your words, willfully retain and disclose classified materials? I mean, he knew the law. Been in office like 50 years. 5 decades in the United States Senate, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, 8 years as vice president. He got briefed every day as vice president. He's been in the Situation Room. In fact, you know he knew the rules because you said so on page 226. President Biden was deeply familiar with the measures taken to safeguard classified documents. And Joe Biden told us he knew the rules. Mr. Armstrong said this earlier. Joe Biden was deeply familiar with it. You're exactly right, because he told us when Jack Smith goes after President Trump, Joe Biden says, how could this happen? What data was in those documents that could compromise sources and methods? It's irresponsible. So Joe Biden knew the rules. You know he knew the rules. And Joe Biden told us he knew the rules. So, Mr. Herr, why did he break them?
Congressman, the conclusion as to exactly why the president did what he did is not one that we explicitly address in the report. The report explains my decision to the attorney general that no criminal charges were warranted in this manner.
I think you did tell us. I think you told us, Mr. Herr. Page 231, you said this. President Biden had strong motivations. That's a key word. We're getting to motive now. President Biden had strong motivations to ignore the proper procedures for safeguarding the classified information in his notebooks. Why did he have strong motivations? Because, next word, because he decided months before leaving office to write a book. To write a book. That was his motive. He knew the rules. He broke them because he was writing a book. And you further say, and he began meeting with the ghostwriter while he was still vice president. There's the motive. Mr. Herr, how much did President Biden get paid for his book?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure if that information appears in the report.
It sure does. There's a dollar amount in there. You remember?
It may be $8 million.
$8 million. Joe Biden had 8 million reasons to break the rules. Took classified information and shared it with the guy who was writing.
Pretty good payday. $8 million.
Mr. Herr,
so
why'd he do
I think the point they're trying to make is that he purposely did it, and he did it for profit. And that if we're going to have rules against classified information being shared because it's dangerous, this was clearly intentional. But like the guy was saying, I didn't look into the why. I didn't explore it. I didn't think that that would be relevant to a jury, because even though I guess that does improve intent and a reason, and that at the time he knew he was doing something that was against the law, at the moment, Biden's frail, old, and, you know, people would even believe that when he had made that decision, he was an idiot back then, too. All right, let's listen to Matt Gaetz.
The chair now recognizes the gentleman from Florida for 5 minutes.
February 8th, the White House. Question, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president. I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Herr?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yes, it's a lie. It's just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the.
That's pretty great. I don't know why the guy felt uncomfortable just saying, yeah, that's a lie, but there you go.
Next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right? Because what you put in your report was, among the places Mr. Biden's lawyers found classified documents in the garage was a damaged open box. So here's what I'm understanding, right? As Mr. Armstrong laid out, you find in your report that the elements of a federal criminal violation are met. But then you apply this senile cooperator theory that because Joe Biden cooperated and the elevator doesn't go to the top floor, you don't think you get a conviction. And I actually think you get to the right answer in that. I don't think Biden should have been charged. Don't think Trump should have been charged. But under like the senile cooperator theory, isn't it frustrating that Biden continues to go out and lie about the basic facts of the report that lay out a federal criminal violation?
Congressman, I need to disagree with at least one thing that you said, which is that I found that all of the elements were met. One of the elements of the relevant mishandling statute is the intent element, and what my report reflects is my judgment that based on the evidence, I would not be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury that that intent element had been
met. Right, but the reason you have that doubt is the senile cooperator theory, the fact that Joe Biden is so inept in responding that you can't prove the intent, which, again, I don't quibble with that conclusion, but it's frustrating to be like, oh, well, this guy's not getting treated the same way as Trump because the elevator's not going to the top floor, so we can't prove intent, while at the same time, Biden goes out there at the White House.
Wait, just to be clear, we have a prosecutor sitting here saying that Joe Biden is so stupid that he can't prove that he intentionally took classified documents when he sat down with a ghostwriter and went over said unclassified documents. And yet the guy is still allowed to be president. This is kind of like, wouldn't you need, this is what kind of what I've been saying with the Donald Trump thing. Don't you need a court to go whether or not he criminally actually sexually assaulted someone and then to label him as being a criminal? And then you do a civil thing. Why is there some sort of separate procedure? Or like in this case, wouldn't you want some sort of an expert to go, hey, this guy is or is not senile? And then if the guy's technically not senile, then you can prosecute him. Or if he is, then he should no longer be president. In other words, when the doctor puts out his report and he goes, Joe Biden's not senile, well, then I guess you're making an evaluation that the guy's allowed to be prosecuted. Isn't that kind of what they do with when you try and plea insanity? Like, it's not a question of whether or not there's, I guess, two questions. There's a question of whether or not you did the crime, and they go, all right, he obviously murdered 45 people. And then someone going, well, he was a schizophrenic when he did it, and he was being his other character, so you can't hold him responsible for it. We have to, which I think the whole thing's loony. And then you have a doctor make a verification about it. So wouldn't the process here being, yes, he's guilty, and then you'd put him in front of a doctor to determine whether or not he's too senile to stand trial, or if he was too dumb as vice president to possibly be able to make these decisions and be held guilty of intent? And if a doctor were to make the decision that the guy's too senile to stand trial or too stupid to possibly prove intent, wouldn't he no longer be allowed to be president? I don't know. It just seems like odd things for us to have being true at the same time. And then we're going to just listen to one more thing on this and move on to the next topic. But it's Matt Gaetz asking about them looking into the China relationship, which is an interesting question. And for some reason was not looked into. Let's give that a listen.
House and says, well, you know, he just blatantly lies. And what I'm trying to figure out is whether or not Biden's lying because he's still so senile, he hasn't read your report, or whether it's a little craftier and a little more devious and perhaps a little more intentional than we might otherwise think. So I also want to go to this Biden Penn Center. Like, did it give concern to you that the Biden Penn Center, where all this classified stuff was being mishandled, was being floated by foreign governments?
Congressman, we were concerned with getting to the bottom of all of the classified documents that were recovered during the course of our...
Yeah, but what bothers me is that the money that was paying for the place where the documents were being inappropriately held, it was the Chinese and it was other foreign countries. Did that play into your analysis? Did you look into the $1 billion in foreign funding sources at the Biden Center at UPenn, for example?
Congressman, we conducted a thorough, impartial, and fair investigation, and we were very, very concerned with getting to the bottom of all the relevant questions relating to the recovered documents.
Sir, did you look into the fact that the Chinese were floating the place where this guy was keeping the documents unsecure? Yes or no?
Congressman, to the extent that we identified evidence that was relevant and significant to our investigation, we put it in our report.
Okay, well, it seemed relevant to me, maybe not to you.
There you go. Like I said, interesting to me that element seemed to have been overlooked. All right, guys, we got so many
Another
more topics. So let's move forward. And we're out of sponsor plugs. You guys want to sponsor the show? robsnewsroom@gmail.com. Look at this. I mean, these are long broadcasts. We've got another golden advertising opportunity right there. Biden Trump clinch party nominations. I think that was obvious and something that we all knew was going to happen. This I mentioned in the intro. Can Royals move on from Kate photo media store? I think they're going to survive this non-scandal. What about you guys think we're going to be able to move on as a culture, as a nation, after she apologizes for a non-incident? How many, I mean, how void of actual journalism and news are all these companies that I had to spend 4 days ignoring these headlines and wondering, why is this relevant and why does anyone care? How many times do you have to put things in front of me? Maybe I should care. Oh, maybe this actually is important. I don't know. It's been like she barely doctored a photo and that's supposed to be newsworthy. Someone want to come on the show and defend why anyone cares about this or why it needs to be constantly put in front of me? All right, this one's interesting. Boeing whistleblower who raised safety concerns found dead. Attorney says he's shocked. And for those of you guys who are not in the know on this story, the Boeing whistleblower did have some juicy claims. And hopefully there's enough other people who are covering this that the Boeing people don't get insights onto my channel. But here we have the guy. He's on TMZ talking about the problems at the Boeing plants and how they're not properly doing safety checks. They don't have proper concerns. They're shoving planes into the air that shouldn't be in the air. Let's give this a watch.
The FAA is saying that the plane is now safe to fly. What do you say?
One, this is not a 737 problem. It's a Boeing problem. And I know the FAA's gone in and they've done due diligence and inspections to assure that the door plugs of the 737 are installed properly and the fasteners are torqued properly. But my concern is, what's the rest of the airplane? What's the rest of the condition of the airplane? And the reason my concern for that is, back in 2012, Boeing started removing inspection operations off their jobs. So it left the mechanics to buy off their own work. So what we're seeing with the door plug blowout is what I've seen with the rest of the airplane, as far as jobs not being completed properly, inspection steps being removed, issues being ignored. My concerns are with the 737 and the 787, because those programs have really embraced the theory that quality is overhead and non-value added. So those two programs have really put a strong effort into removing quality from the process. When I first started working at Charleston, I was in charge with pushing back defects to our suppliers. And what that meant was I'd take a group of inspectors and actually go to the supplier and inspect their product before they sent it in. Well, I'd taken a team of four inspectors to Spirit AeroSystems to inspect the 41 section before they sent it to Charleston. And we found 300 defects. Some of them were significant that needed engineering intervention. When I returned to Charleston, my senior manager told me that we had found too many defects and he was going to take the next trip. So the next trip he went on, he took two of my inspectors. And when they got back, they were given accolades for only finding 50 defects. So I pulled that inspector aside and I said, did Spirit really clean up their act that quick? That don't sound right. And she was mad. She said, no. Said the two inspectors were given 2 hours to inspect the whole 41 section and they were kicked off the airplane.
Doesn't sound great. Doesn't sound great. And then that guy found dead in his car. Now, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about Boeing. You're talking about big time military industrial complex. I mean, listen, you want to say bad things about pharma, you might lose your job and you might, you might get taken down from the internets. You might get shadow banned. You might have a hard time getting your information out into the world. But you start talking shit on the defense contractors and you are playing a different game, my friends. I mean, sure. Is it possible that he just Clinton himself in the backseat, just suicided himself? Of course, anything's possible. We have no idea what happened in this, but talk about a juicy story. Seeing all these things in the news, problems with the planes, and you get a whistleblower who's a part of the court case found dead in his car. Really does seem like some movie shit. All right, what else we got next? We're in the quick snapshot headline section. Trump aides taking over RNC over mass layoffs. Supposedly trying to clean up the party, make sure that they don't get rigged out of another election. The one thing that caught my eye in this was day after allies took over Republican National Committee, Donald J. Trump's advisor are imposing mass layoffs on the party with more than 60 officials, including senior staff members laid off or asked to resign and then reapply for their jobs. Would you ever resign and how cushy is your job that someone can go, listen, we don't really want you here, but you can reapply? And then maybe how badly do you need a job, or how good is that job that you just get to show up every day, sit in some nice chair and do nothing, that the second you lose it, you're like, I'm going to reapply for that. That seems wild to me. Ask to resign and then reapply. That must be one hell of a do nothing job. RFK Jr. considers Jesse Ventura, which would suck. I'd have no interest in that whatsoever. Do you guys remember Jesse Ventura's bullshit during COVID with the, when my mother nurse had me wearing a mask and you got to wear the mask, blah, blah, blah. What a nonsense individual. But Aaron Rodgers for vice president, that's starting to get juicy again. I mean, if maybe he could change a little bit of the Israel chatter to placate to Dave, and then maybe Dave could get himself involved. But an Aaron Rodgers vice president, let's get back to talking about COVID. That just sounds fun. And for those who want to know if Aaron Rodgers is up to the task, apparently he's in Costa Rica on an ayahuasca retreat, which almost sounds like he was doing so much ayahuasca in New Jersey, he had to go to Costa Rica as a retreat from doing all the ayahuasca. But I enjoy myself some Aaron Rodgers, and that sounds like a good time. All right, guys, this one's awesome. Remember I was talking a couple weeks ago, Fortune Magazine, my predictions for Ukraine, that, you know, they're not just, it seems like they didn't get their last round of funding. So what are they going to do? They'll get their partners to kick up a little bit more. Germany pitches in a little bit more. Some of the other EU nations send a little bit more over there. And then what are we going to do over here? Well, they're going to figure out some sort of a way with budgets or otherwise to send them more supplies. How much does the Pentagon fail its audit by every single year? And you're telling me that we can't secretly just get a little bit more funding to Ukraine in the short term until they then figure it out, and then they go backwards retroactively and pretend like money that they sent was actually what was just approved? They'll figure out until they finally wind this thing done. They'll figure out how to get Ukraine their money. Maybe some people who shoved it into their own bank accounts finally turn up and go, hey, I think I skimmed a little bit too much. I don't imagine that there'll be a lot of that. But we were also talking about that the United States could take anything and just label it as excess inventory. And what it can do is actually ship it to Germany and then label it as excess inventory. And excess inventory is allowed to be donated, and that doesn't even count for the budget. Who knows what other kind of tricks they're pulling behind the scenes. But unless you thought that they weren't going to try some bullshit, here already they magically found $300 million, which against $89 billion is not a lot, except when you actually need the money, and so it's not just pork. You know what I mean? Like when you actually, we've all been there where you get a smaller paycheck and you can get by on that because it actually goes to the essentials. So I bet this magical $300 million is what they actually need to get bullets to them. And then typically that would be like $1 billion, but this time they can't give some guy an extra $700 million. It's like when you go to the insurance company and you get the copay and then the actual bill type thing, you call up the hospital and you're like, listen, I don't have insurance. They're like, oh, well, that'll be 95% off your bill. So I'm sure they got to call whatever person makes the bullets for them. And they're like, hey, listen, I know that normally you give us the 10X pricing, but in this instance, we don't actually have the funding coming from Congress. So I'm going to need the real price. And they go, no problem, 90% off. I don't know why it's that guy, because it's probably a Jewish guy on the other side of the phone, someone from Israel. So here we go. If you think I'm just constantly spewing nonsense, listen to this.
On behalf of President Biden, I'm announcing an emergency package of security assistance of $300 million worth of weapons and equipment to address some of Ukraine's pressing needs. This is possible because of unanticipated cost savings in contracts that DoD negotiated to replace equipment we've already sent to Ukraine through previous drawdowns. We're able to use these cost savings to make this modest amount of new security assistance available right now without impacting U.S. military readiness. This ammunition will keep Ukraine's guns firing for a period, but only a short period. It is nowhere near enough to meet Ukraine's battlefield needs, and it will not prevent Ukraine from running out of ammunition in the weeks to come. This package does not displace and should not delay the critical need to pass the bipartisan national security bill.
Hey guys, we magically found some money and we might be able to magically find some more money, but that doesn't change the fact that we still need more.
On behalf of President,
this was a Wall Street Journal article outlining the exact same thing. Judge quashes 6 charges in Georgia election case against Trump. That just happened. We'll dig into that. Binance gets blamed for a currency crisis. We can talk about this real quick. I just thought that this was interesting because it does, to me, really outline the need for non-government currencies and kind of the sickness of financial crime. So I think he had like 30% inflation in Nigeria. And so you had all sorts of people trying to move over to stable coins because they obviously don't want to be sitting in a currency where it's constantly being devalued. I mean, if every single year you lose to, so what, in 3 years, you basically, your dollar goes to zero. I mean, not quite, maybe with that. I don't know, whatever. I'm not good at math. But anyways, you could see that. I mean, this is the Bitcoin story right here of that, you know, people need to get away from their government currencies. We've all been stuck with government currencies with for all of humanity. Government is incentivized to secretly steal your wealth. They always get greedy in doing so. And if everyone could actually save money, they could live good, honest lives. They can invest in the future. They could have better time preference standards, and everyone could live a better life. So you look at this and you're like, all right, that highlights it. But then on the backside of it, if people get caught up in the non-Bitcoins, or if you're like me and you're just keeping all your money on Coinbase, and then someone goes, yeah, I'd like to help you have sound money. I'd like to help you with that. Why not buy my stable coin instead? And then the whole thing is that you're trying to not have your money stolen by government, and then some asshole just steals it from you. This was fun claims that Donald Trump has done so much Sudafed and other things that he's shitting his pants. And before I give my commentary about Donald Trump and the extent by which he might be diarrheaing into diapers on a regular basis, why not give it a play?
He would often soil himself on The Apprentice set. He's incontinent from all the speed, all the Adderall he does, the cocaine that he's done for decades. You know, all that stuff has a laxative and it has an effect on your bowels, and his are uncontrollable. He's worn diapers since probably the 90s, but I saw it firsthand in the 2000s on Celebrity Apprentice in late 2000s, and we'd have to stop the show and change him, you know, and that was Keith Schiller's job. He would take him off set, he would wipe him down. Our nickname for Keith was Wet Wipes.
Comedian and former Trump worker Noel Kassler.
So I don't know if this is true, and they're trying to say this as a knock on Trump, but if this is true, that's an inspiration. You can get to Donald Trump's level, be on planes all the time, be giving giant speeches, and constantly shitting your pants. You know what that says to me? Is that I'm too shit my pants shy. I haven't shat my pants in years. And all the time I'm out on the road, there's delicious food to be eaten, and I'm thinking, I got a comedy show later. I've got a this, I've got a that. But maybe we can further embracing just shitting your pants. That's maybe Donald Trump could get up there and he could let people know that it's okay to shit your pants. I'm so successful and I shit my pants all the time. On the regular, giant chunks, you just do it, you keep going. What are you not going to eat fried food in the afternoon? I have milkshakes. It's a good life. I feel very youthful. Looking for bathrooms can be exhausting. I want to hear from the Schiller guy. If any of this is true, I want to hear from Schiller. I'd like to see the job posting of, do you like scooping giant chunks of fried chicken out of people's diapers? I mean, if this is true in any capacity whatsoever, I don't see this as a knock on Trump. If anything, it makes me like him more, that the guy will just push forward and be able to accomplish what he can accomplish all while soiling a diaper. Doesn't that make you just more impressed with Donald Trump? Finally, the IBS representative that we need. I'll completely change my stance and be 100% pro Donald Trump if you tell me that he's the IBS representative for America. All right, especially if he would just start owning it in the middle of the speech. I just shat my pants, but I'll keep going. That was a big one, a little bit sloppy. I feel bad for the guy, but it's an honest job by an American. This is a wet-wiped American butthole, everybody. No foreign workers. All right, guys, that is our show. Thank you for hanging out with us. Back, I don't know. I don't know when I'll be back. I read the news. You get enough things to do a show. You do a show. You put together an intro. Anyways, email me your porches. robsnewsroom@gmail.com. Let's make this porch tour the greatest porch tour anyone's ever seen. Let's blow this thing up where the point that the porch tour logistics don't make sense anymore. And then the comedy clubs can't deny me because we got massive audiences. Hopefully, I'm going to buy some more film equipment. We're going to be filming more shows, putting out more jokes. I've noticed there are a lot of jokes that I've moved on from and I never put them out. So I got to figure out the tapings, got to get the stuff out. Guys, the show's over. robsnewsroom@gmail.com. Hit me up with those porches. More shows coming at you soon. This weekend with Dave Smith opening for him in Chicago. I think some of the nights are sold out. I think there's still tickets I saw for the live podcast of the old Zany's Room. Go check that out. Comic Dave Smith for those links next week in Key West. Hit up Comic Dave Smith. If you got a boat, let's go fishing for some marlins. Let's go yell at the Haitians that are coming over. Maybe let's go check out Cuba. And that's it. That's the show. Thanks for hanging out. Back soon with another brand new episode. Have a great day. Enjoy the nice weather.